Hello, everyone. Welcome to Toonami Therapy, our podcast where we talk about anime we have been watching, some of which is actually on Toonami. I'm Michael. Yep.
I'm Tommy.
And before we start the podcast, there is some important news to share. The first was something that we didn't mention last time because it got announced like about 2 hours after we finished recording, which is, and I think we should mention it because Toonami mentioned it, Akira Toriyama, best known for being the creator of Dragon Ball, died about 2 weeks ago, I think it was. They actually only announced it a week after he died because they wanted to have like a private family funeral and only do that after they had done all that. I should mention Toonami is going to be skipping over One Piece because they're going to have a Dragon Ball. Was it Dragon Ball Super or Dragon Ball Z Kai marathon?
I think it's Dragon Ball Z Kai.
Okay. So, yeah, that's pretty big, especially because a lot of times when a famous person dies, it's when they really at a time where they really haven't been doing too much. And obviously, while his like biggest days were behind him, he still was working on Dragon Ball material. He was working on Dragon Ball Super, the manga, which is still going on. It kept the anime ended midway through. I don't know where the manga is now, to be honest. It seemed like a pretty good ending, so I don't know where it went after that. But so yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with that. But yeah, definitely one of the death of one of the biggest names in anime or manga.
Definitely did a lot for us fans over here in America. So
yeah, if it hadn't been for Dragon Ball Z, I think we'd be like 5 to 10 years behind in terms of anime access. I feel like we might only now be starting to get like simulcasts and subs and such. Dragon Ball was just, because there was anime before that and it was, you know, it achieved some popularity, but Dragon Ball was the one that just, well, Dragon Ball Z more specifically, that just made it super popular. It's like the one, it's the old, it either Dragon Ball is pretty much I'm trying to think if it's the most recognizable anime, but the other competitor would be Pokemon, but that's kind of unfair because Pokemon didn't really start as a manga or anime. It was games, and then it just became everything else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but people probably don't want us to be going too much about this. Everyone else has talked about it before. I just thought it would be important that we acknowledge this. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so after that, the other news is that we do know what's coming next for Toonami to replace Demon Slayer, I think it was. And that's Zom 100. So, yeah, that'll be coming in a few weeks. So I guess we'll watch that.
Yeah.
All right.
I read a little bit about it, and I thought the idea of the show sounds a little weird, but we'll see what it's like whenever it comes on.
Yeah, we will. I watched a little of it, but not too much. There's one advantage of it being on Toonami. When it originally aired, it had these big production difficulties, so a bunch of episodes were delayed for a while. But if it's coming on Toonami, then it'll just be, you know, episode. You know, there won't be those breaks, except for, you know, for like some of the big things, like they'd probably... when is 4th of July this year? Is it on a weekend or is it during the week? It's 4th of July, Thursday. So they probably wouldn't take that week off. Mm-hmm. I don't know about some of the other weeks. But anyway, that's how it goes. in regards to all that stuff. In the meantime, let's get back to discussing the shows that did air. So, here we've got Ninja Kamui Episode 5. So, essentially what happens in this episode is that basically we see the Legion of Doom, as I'm going to call always call it, are still plotting to kill the main character, again, although I still kind of want to call him just Mr. Kamui. Anyway, he ends up fighting a bunch of ninjas again, including some ninjas that basically put on mecha armor. And yeah, that's fights them. They seem to beat him, but then they realize, wait, we're only 5 episodes into this. We've still got some more. So then he gets rescued. Well, we did get some more action stuff, which was pretty decent. It's the show just has a problem that the action is pretty good. Like that's something everyone seems to agree. The action is good enough. The plot is just really bare, unfortunately.
I don't know how we got to hear from the first episode of the show. Like, it doesn't really make much sense to me. And I don't know. I'm having a hard time finding positive things to say about it.
I said it's bare, which is weird because the plot is simultaneously really simple but also really confusing to me. Because it's just, okay, my family got killed. I want to get revenge, and these people want to kill me, and they killed my family. Now I want to kill them. And that will cause us to fight. Except a bunch of the specifics are just kind of confusing to me. Now, maybe I've just not been paying attention well enough or something like that, but that's kind of my issue with it. The action's good. That's something that I definitely want to praise it for. But in terms of plot, the show's not so good. They made a big deal. The director, he was the guy who did like the first season of Jujutsu Kaisen. So yeah, they got a great director. It looks good. The action is good. I just don't think the writing is up to task on it. Did the director write it or did someone else? Let me just check that quick. Yeah, directed by Sung-woo Park, but it looks like the writing was done by Shigeru Murakoshi. I don't know what he actually has done before. Let me just take a quick look at this. Let's see. Okay, Shigeru, because I'm just suddenly curious. Okay, a bunch of... Okay, it looks like this is the first series he's like been the main head writer for. Prior to this, it looks like he did specific episodes for some series, but not the main ones. Let's see, he was... Wait a minute. Is this actually... I just need to check this very quick, because it's I'm actually seeing his credits for one of the series that we are actually watching, and I want to see which specific episodes. Yeah, it looks like he also wrote a bunch of episodes of Dark Gathering, so which I like a lot more than this, but of course that one's also based on a manga, so you know, you have something for that. So I don't know. We'll see. I at least the action's good. I just wish the rest the writing was as good as that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Back onto a series that has really good action and better writing than Ninja Kamui. Mm-hmm. Demon's Slayer. We got episode 42. So basically they're still fighting. Honestly, I kind of almost feel like I could describe this episode with, well, they keep fighting. But that's basically the case. We do have Inosuke behead Daki and runs off with her head, but but then Gyutaro manages to stab him and get the head back. Tanjiro ends up finding that, Sound Hashira guy got beaten, and so I guess it's just up to our main characters, or at least two of them, because Inosuke seems to have been taken out. So Tanjiro and Zenitsu still around, so I guess they'll go and somehow beat the bad guy.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got two, or that, or maybe they just drive them off. We do only have two episodes left.
Yep, two episodes left in this arc, which was supposed to be about an entertainment district, but there hasn't been much of that. It's been mainly just this big fight. The entertainment district thing was a bait and switch, you know? Well, but, yeah.
I find it more entertaining than the previous arc. Maybe that's what it means.
But, yeah, this was a pretty fun episode. Pretty enjoyable. I seem to like Inosuke the best. Maybe just because he wears that boar on his head and he looks like Sonraku from Shangri-La Frontier.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I thought it was a fun episode. So, yeah, pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this while this arc, and even you could say this episode, hasn't been perfect, I do think it's better than Mugen Train. So, we gotten Licorice Recoil, Episode 8, to just go through it a bit quickly, because we have watched the series before. Essentially, they find out they're losing money, so Takina creates a new menu item and doesn't realize that the reason it gets popular is because it looks like the sort of stereotypical Japanese picture of a poop. But but they make money because of that. Majima confronts Chisato and Tak, but he gets away after Takina comes to rescue her. Chisato finally goes to this doctor's appointment she's been putting off, but then it turns out that the bad guys are actually in control there, and they basically put her to sleep in order to take out her artificial heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the artificial heart is what allows her to somehow dodge bullets from point-blank range, which I don't understand exactly how that works, but okay.
I think it's supposed to be that her senses are heightened, so she can figure out where the bullets would hit. Well, has she ever dodged it completely at point blank range? Maybe he has, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I thought he did in this episode.
Okay, maybe he did, and I can't remember the specifics. I think the explanation was supposed to be that she's just able to subconsciously recognize the signs that someone's going to shoot and therefore dodge it. Okay. So, yes, that's Licorice Recoil. Decent episode.
Yep.
We move on to One Piece episode 657. Is that the right number? I hope I've been getting these numbers right. Yes. Okay. So, Bartolomeo is still looking for Luffy. He finds Luffy. The end. Mm-hmm. Rebecca is still fighting. She seems to be losing, but then someone else helps her, and then she makes a super big guy fall off the arena into the water to beat him. Then we also find out that all the fighters who have lost have basically been dumped down this chute in order to, well, we don't know, but they're all trapped in this place.
And somehow people keep on losing to Rebecca, even though they know the only thing she ever does is just dodges and moves out of the way so they fall in. Like, you'd think after about, you know, 40 or 50 guys did that, they'd figure out a different way of fighting her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of stupid that people keep on losing to her just because she moves out of the way. Like, it shouldn't be that easy for her to win every match. So, yeah, that doesn't make much sense. And I kind of realized in this episode that the Straw Hats, like, weren't even on the radar of this episode. Maybe a little bit of Luffy. That was about it. I mean, there was hardly any straw hatting going on in this episode at all.
Yes. And really the main thing that you remember about Luffy is just how much time he spends just standing in one place running.
Yeah.
He's just like going, okay, I got to get going. And he starts running, except he's in place and instead of, you know, just stopping running to converse, he's still doing that. I guess maybe the point is so that he can take off more quickly when he does start running, but it's still kind of weird to see.
That was pretty funny. But what other Straw Hats showed up in this episode? I can't think of one.
I think it was just Luffy, but if we want to be sure, I can look it up on the One Piece wiki, every episode you can look it up, and it'll list every character who appeared in it in order of appearance. Okay, let's see. Oh wow, characters in order of appearance. It mentions like Sanji, the Straw Hats all do appear. It's just in Bartolomeo's imagination.
Oh, okay.
At the start where he's thinking about how much he respects them, they all show up there. So, yes, I will say, you know, by the kind of slow standards of the anime, it did feel like more stuff happened in this episode than usual.
Mm-hmm.
At least it looks like... Yeah, well, in terms of page count, I'm looking at this. Okay, so we got... Well, this is... I want to read this. So we got 4 pages from chapter 725, 2 from 726... 1 from 727, and 1 from 731. They really did mixing and matching of things that were in multiple chapters, maybe to try to, I guess, do a bunch of things so that it really felt like more things were occurring at once. Ugh. Okay. All right, so we got One Piece through. We did watch Naruto Shippuden episode 480. So this one's a flashback. It's about it's basically about Naruto and Hinata when they were really young and the first time they met, and that's kind of it.
Yeah, very disappointing. I was thinking this was going to be like an epilogue, and instead it's just flashbacks. So I don't know how many of these flashbacks I'm going to be able to sit through, especially at 2:30 in the morning.
It's the first 4 episodes of this season are all flashbacks, I think. After that, looking at episode 5, I think it might be stuff. It might be more epilogue stuff in that it's things that happen later, but I'm not 100% sure on it. But the first 4 ones are just flashback. Like, the next one is going to be about Sasuke and Sakura. The one after that is about Gaara and Shikamaru. And the one after that is about Jiraiya and Kakashi. You know that because those are the names of the episodes. There's Sasuke and Sakura, then there's Gaara and Shikamaru, and lastly, Jiraiya and Kakashi. Those are the names of the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not really too much to say about it, but we did watch it, so I figured I might as well mention it.
Right.
I know some later stuff this season does kind of cover some things that happened after the sort of end of the series, but we're not there yet. We're just flashbacks. Yeah. They knew that Naruto was a moneymaker and they wanted to get one more season out of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's it for all of our Toonami shows. We'll then move on to the other things we've watched. So, we've got Shangri-La Frontier. Did you watch the recap episode?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. So I did also. Which is 14.5, and then the actual episode is 15. So the recap episode is a recap episode. We see clips from previous things, and we get some voiceovers of the characters. It was, I don't know what you thought, but I thought it was actually surprisingly entertaining.
Oh, I thought it was great. In mm-hmm. fact, I thought it was better than the actual episode we watched this week. Yeah, it was very entertaining. They had lots of jokes in there and made it really humorous. I thought it was very well done. And unfortunately, the actual episode wasn't as good as it was.
I actually do think I enjoyed this one more than the next episode because there were a lot of great jokes in there. I think my favorite is when one of the characters... So each episode, most episodes of Shangri-La Frontier open with someone, you know, doing the voiceover about bad games and people wanting to play and how there being some people who still try them. And we have that, except it's a different character doing it and then uses it as an opportunity to make fun of Sunraku. The voiceovers the characters do throughout the whole thing are constantly just making fun of things in the series. And even the clips we saw, most of them were actually pretty, they did a good job at least showing the entertaining stuff for the most part. Yeah, the jokes are good. This is actually a pretty decent recap episode. Did you watch the credits? Because then you have Ray like show up and like and having missed the whole thing. you hear her in the voiceover. So yeah, it was pretty funny. It's not required viewing in any way, but yeah, the jokes actually worked for me. Or the part where Emma's like saying, "If you want to see the whole thing, watch episode 11." Anyway. So then we get to the actual episode, episode 15. So basically, that PK group all gets attacked by a bunch of clans because Pencilgon tipped them off because she betrayed the group. We also find out apparently one of the guys in that is actually her brother. So in real life, apparently, which is kind of, so maybe we'll see more of that. Anyway, then ultimately our main three characters end up going to fight Weathermon, which they've kind of been setting up, and they need to go, yeah, like the boss character. And really, for some reason that's not quite, I didn't think was exactly explained, maybe it's part of their strategy and they'll say it, Sunraku seems to be the only one who's actually fighting him, but he's managing to hold off the things until he does get hit and dies, but then they just throw him a revival potion and he's back. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that's basically it. I mean, there were some other stuff, but mostly it was just them, setting up for the fight and then them starting on the fight. Also, there was some sort of, I don't know if this happened to you, but there was some sort of error when I watched it because... So there's a part where, you know, the text goes on screen to say, okay, this is all the stuff that's on screen, except it did not go away. It just stayed there covering up some of the screen. At first I thought, oh, so I guess they're just on the whole thing. But then I turned it off and turned it back on and it was gone. So I think it was just a glitch or something. Um, Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't as funny as the recap episode.
Yeah. Now, Pentagon, is that the purple-haired girl?
Yes. I just called...
Is that really a man in real life?
No. It's a woman. The other... The blonde female girl. Oh, like, okay. She's really a guy in real life.
Okay.
some... I can't remember their name. It was some pro... a gamer who just decided to make a female character. I just want to know how they do the voice, because it sounds female. Do they like use some sort? This takes place in the future. Do a bunch of people just use some kind of like voice modulator to do that sort of thing? Maybe the series will explain at some point if we see them in real life. I think we do at some point, but I don't know when.
Okay.
So yeah, it was. I still thought it was fun, but I wish it had more of the comedy that we saw in the recap episode.
Yeah.
Definitely one of the better recap episodes I've seen.
Yep.
All right. So, we've got my teen romantic comedy Snafu, episode 24. So the characters basically are trying to figure out what their fields of study should be, whether they want to go into science or liberal arts. There's some stuff about rumors about relationships between characters. Hachiman ends up was he the only main group who was in the race? I can't remember if the other two were or not. But
I don't think so.
Okay. Anyway, he competes and actually does great, except then he and the person he's racing with end up just stopping to talk for some reason. A bunch of people go by them, and then the other guy's like, well, I'll just win. And then he goes and wins it all anyway. So, yeah. So there's, and there's a bunch of, that's the kind of plot stuff, but a lot of it was, of course, you know, the characters talking and doing, I don't know exactly what you call it, that just the conversations they have.
Yeah. I'll help you with it. There was the big controversy about whether the one guy whose name escapes me, but whether he was going out with Yukino or not. And then Hachiman kind of confronted him and told him which type of field he should go into, and he kind of didn't take that too well. And then Hachiman gets injured, so Yukino tries to help him, like, help with his wounds, and they share one of those classic anime romance moments where they look each other in the eyes, but nothing happens there. But and then a lot of people say what I, in fact, have started to say, which is that Yukino's personality has really changed. And I thought it was funny that they mentioned that, because it was like, yeah, it really has changed, and I can't figure out why, but they've noticed it the same way the viewers have noticed it, and overall, I thought it was a really good episode.
Yes, I was, when I was saying the conversations, I was, because the show does that thing where characters just have conversations about things, and it's kind of hard to really summarize them. Yes, this was, but I agree, this was my not so great summary aside, this was definitely a step up from a lot the previous run of episodes. I think it really was the whole student council arc was just not very good, and it went on for a while. But now that we're finally freed from it, the show can get better again.
Yeah. Also, I finally noticed that Yui's catchphrase is "Yeah, hello," and I never realized that she always says that "Yeah, hello" whenever she. Obviously, I can't do it with my deep voice, but yeah, that's her catchphrase.
Hmm. Oh, I don't think I noticed that either. Hmm.
Yeah, look whenever she greets someone, and she'll go, yeah, hello.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, so then we move on to episode 7 of Full Metal Panic Fumofu.
Yeah.
Do you want to describe it, or?
Yeah, I will. So basically, there's this rugby team, and they want to save their club. So they get Kaname and Sosuke to try to save the club. And then it turns out that there are a whole bunch of wimps who are scared to do anything that might get them injured. So Sosuke decides to whip them into shape military style. And he uses a book he got from Mao, which has some, let's just say, offensive things, of ways of insulting these people in order to make them get in shape. And They bleep certain words out, which is kind of humorous, although sometimes it's like, whoa, that I don't know how they got away with that. But eventually he's able to turn them into all these extremely mean and nasty rugby players, so that then whenever they go out on the field, they get into a big fight and just start pummeling the other team, and I guess they saved their club, but yeah, they lost a lot of their dignity in the process, and but yeah, and then at the end of the episode, Sosuke continues to go at them with that book that Mao gave him, and saying all these really offensive things that got bleeped out.
Oh, I didn't think to do it, but I should have. Did you check the Japanese to see if they had that same sort of thing there?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was wondering, did they like have the... Because the fact they did that makes me think that's the kind of thing that a joke that was from the Japanese. But I'm not sure. Won't be able to really check right now, fortunately. But yeah, so yeah, it was a funny episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was very funny. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
A lot of it was really funny. I feel like it needed a better, like, joke to end on. It just kind of feels like it just sort of stops at the end. But I still like this episode, but it would have been like an absolute thumbs up if they had just come up with a better final joke. Mm-hmm. So, like if maybe after all that, they all just like go completely back to normal otherwise, or something like that. Anyway, but yeah, it was funny. It definitely requires you to know a bit more about Full Metal. It's kind of weird, because prior to this, I feel like you could pretty well understand what's going on, even if you've never seen Full Metal Panic. But here, it's just a matter of, they just name drop Mao with the assumption that you know her, because it doesn't make any sense if you haven't. She hasn't shown up so far this season.
Right. Yeah. And the next episode preview tells us that Tessa is going to show up in the next episode.
Yeah, does Mao show? I know Tessa does. Does Mao show up in this season?
Couldn't tell you.
Okay. That's her name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I just want to... You said I just wanted to make sure because there was a different character who had a similar name. I was thinking, am I getting them mixed up? Okay, I did get them right. I can never remember her name usually. I just think of her as Misato because it's the same voice actress.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yep, there's that. Then we have Dark Gathering, episode 2. So because of the sort of spirits, it's sort of, I can't remember if it's exactly possession or just hovering around him, but Kitaro, because of like his hand being cursed, he has to basically go to what they refer to as an exorcism, but technically it really just seems like they just cut off like some of the nerve stuff around that grows around his hand. In any event, they do that, but because he kind of gets weakened by... that he does get sort of hypnotized by one of the evil spirits that was inhabiting this doll. But Yayoi is able to defeat it and rescue him. And then, of course, just takes it back as a souvenir, essentially. Mm-hmm. And puts it in... Oh, yeah, it does put it in her room where she's got all those other cursed objects, which she does show to Keitaru, who finds it very, who gets very creeped out by all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, that was essentially the episode.
Yeah. Pretty entertaining. Pretty mm-hmm. good episode. Yeah.
Yeah, it has like the sort of the same string of the first episode. You know, there's some fun, there's some legitimately funny jokes in here, but it still does work as a horror series. But at the same time, it's not it doesn't like go too dark or anything. You got the horror elements, but it's also kind of an adventure action series, and the jokes work. It all manages to combine together right, which I think I have to give the series some credit for, because while it works, that's the sort of thing that could easily not work. But so far, it's worked for the series.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is... that's our shows, then.
Yeah.
Because, there wasn't anything else we watched. So I guess we can move into giving our rankings of them.
This week is a little harder for me because for maybe the first time this year, there's more shows than spots to give out to. More shows that I want to give spots to, that is. So there's 4 shows I could easily give the top 3 to, but I'm going to have to go with Shangri-La Frontier will get 3rd place just because of that recap episode. 2nd place will be Demon Slayer, and for 1st place, I'm going with Snafu for the 2nd straight week.
Okay. For me, this is a tricky one to do because, there are a bunch of good series here. I'm just trying to think of exactly what order put some of these things in. Well, Demon Slayer was fun, but I feel like I can't quite get it into the top 3. Yeah, I'm thinking there's like a bunch of shows. Like Demon Slayer, honestly, every thing except I guess Naruto Shippuden was at least decent. I wasn't huge on Ninja Kamui, but I still thought it was like better than like the last episode. One Piece at least had some fun stuff, like the bit where Bartolomeo just wanders into the hospital thing and is kind of a jerk. That was pretty funny, and that was actually filler, I think, that scene. So I'm like, oh, okay, well. You know, I'll take a funny filler scene over, you know, lengthened reaction shots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other series. So, but obviously, you know, those, like, those wouldn't, that's still not going to put it into the top three. But for the top three, I will therefore put in, there's so many are so close, unfortunately. Let me just think quick. Okay. I'm going to therefore do, okay, I got it. I'll put Dark Gathering in third, Full Metal Panic Fumofu in second, and Shangri-La Frontier in first.
Okay.
And that was a very, those were all very close to each other.
Mm.
All right. And that's our podcast. We don't have any, I don't think we have anything else to talk about.
I do.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I watched the second episode of the Cowboy Bebop live action show, and now I can start to understand why people have problems with this show. So basically, the plot line is that Jet and Spike are trying to get a bounty on someone. And they keep on getting into these arguments with each other and fighting with each other. And I don't remember their relationship in the original series being this strained, where they were, like, always going back and forth at each other. So, yeah, that's one thing that I have problems with. They try to hunt down this one person to get a bounty on them, but in the meantime, Spike Spiegel turns into Monkey D. Luffy, and he's now really hungry all the time. So I have no idea why they did this, but they made Spike Spiegel have Luffy's personality of being hungry all the time, needing to eat. So we have this whole thing about this whole running joke about how Spike Spiegel needs to get his noodles, and he uses that as an excuse to go and visit someone from the syndicate. And then they have this creepy scene of the syndicate where Vicious nearly kills Julia but doesn't actually do it, and you can tell he's generally a bad guy. And this episode, the main thing it builds up to is Jet and Spike having to work together to figure out this bounty thing, and basically, they don't want to get along with each other until finally, you know, they figure things out, I guess everything turns out okay. But, it felt a lot to me like Spike Spiegel was way, way out of character. And he wasn't really even close to what his anime self was. Jet, you know, my biggest problem with Jet is just that he curses and acts so angry all the time that, like, I don't remember Jet Black being so grouchy as he is in this series. So, yeah, there's some problems I have with it. So I can see where people obviously didn't like it as much. At the same time, I still feel that it's very entertaining, and it's worth the watch. So I don't know. It's kind of a mixed bag for me.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen it, so I can't really comment. But I do think Yeah, what you're talking about seems interesting. I mean, it's been a very long time since I saw the original series, but Jet, I remember him being kind of, I thought he was the calmest and most level-headed of the group.
Exactly, yeah.
Yep. So the him being really angry seems a little weird. I guess you can always say, well, you know, it's an adaptation, characters aren't necessarily the same, but at the same time, the problem is the fact, if you want to say, okay, it's a different series, characters can be different. The thing is, you're calling it Cowboy Bebop. Like, there's no reason to just do that unless your hope is, hey, a bunch of people like this series, we'll try to get some of them to check this out. So it only, I feel like if you're just going to be using the name for that sort of thing, it definitely should be something that would be, that wouldn't be too different. Now, sometimes, you know, you can change things. There's, I know there's cases, trying to remember, I don't have any great examples off the top of my head, but I know they exist. Ones where adaptations changed a lot of things and they were generally considered pretty good as a result. But usually those ones are of older series that, like, you know, weren't like the biggest thing. Like, for example, did you know, I don't know what kind of changes were made exactly, but did you know that, you know, Dumbo, the Disney film, that was based on a book? You probably didn't know it because, you know, it wasn't that well known of a book. People just remember the animated one. And actually, I have no idea how much they changed, so maybe that's a bad example. But I guess my point is, if you're trying to use brand recognition, you should have it so that the people who like the brand in question will like it. That's what they did with One Piece, to great effect. They kept it. They kept the characters pretty close to their originals. There were some changes, some things were emphasized differently, but you can see all that stuff. Now, once again, I haven't seen this, but from what I'm hearing of this, it does sound like they really did switch up a bunch of things in terms of their personalities.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think they want to go for the whole, you know, violent and explosions type of thing. But Cowboy Bebop was a lot more than just that. So, yeah.
Okay. And that's everything. Then this has been our podcast, and we'll be here next week for the usual things, except without One Piece, because it won't be aired or anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nothing else to really say then. I guess I'll just do the usual thing where I just kind of awkwardly end it and say we'll see you next time.
Bye.